question what you've done. The game can try to play us. Don't let it stop the fun. Some days it's all confusion. Easy come and easy go. What if it's all illusion? Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking with Bob, Jim, Matt, all of us to chat about WandaVision episode 6. So let's go to episode 6 of WandaVision. In this episode, Pietro just came back at the end of last episode, played by the actor from the wrong universe, we would say. And so it's interesting to have the actor who is from the X-Men films and Fox come over and take over a character that was portrayed by a different actor in the Marvel films and killed in the Marvel films. And we figure out more about that. I didn't know how much his character would be featured, but he's in this pretty much this whole episode. This episode is a huge fanboy episode for people seeing Wanda in her actual WandaVision comic correct outfit, along with Vision, somewhat comic correct, but except with the boxer shorts on. Even Pietro gets a chance to wear his comic correct uniform somewhat, other than he's got like jean shorts on over it. But it's kind of cute, and they play with that because it's Halloween. And we'll just go into this episode and spoil it as we go. So remember, watch the episode first before you listen to us chat about it. But let's go from there and head over. I haven't heard Bob in a little while. So, Bob, what did you think about this episode? What stood out to you? Go ahead.
Seeing, further breakdown in Wanda's reality and a lot of tension now. It's even starting from the beginning of this episode, a lot of tension between Wanda and Vision. And he kind of goes off on his own little adventure in this episode to try to figure out what is going on. I thought it was, good, very tight. You also see some weirdness going on with her brother. One scene, she turns around, he's looking all ghoulish, and then she kind of freaks and turns around again. So something, he's not what he seems. I'm getting that impression that there is some other force going on besides her in this world she's created.
And well, there's some speculation online that he's going to be the bad guy. He's some other character. Folks are saying Mephisto or something like that. That's controlling him or is him and going to change things. We shall see. I'm hoping it doesn't go that way, just like Matt's hoping that. But who knows? Jim, let's see. Well, what do you think of this episode and the direction it's going and so forth? Oh, well, let me point out one more thing. We also have Captain Rambo, Jim, and Darcy, the character Darcy, all kind of totally becoming a separate unit and getting kicked out and having to get in a fight. And they end up, the three of them totally banding together. And they are now against trying to help Wanda figure things out and work through the things for Wanda and against the sword team and things that seems to be the leader of that is running it in a weird direction where he wants to just attack Wanda and things instead of trying to solve the problem. Jim, go ahead.
I really like this episode. You know, I like the throwback costumes. I think that was kind of neat, you know,
So now we're in the 90s for the 90s outfits, yes.
Yeah, and so I was trying to figure out, it's like, what kind of sitcom were they trying to tie it in from the 90s? It did the sitcom tie-in didn't seem as
Oh, my daughter nailed it immediately.
Yep.
This is Disney Channel.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is distinctly Disney Channel and Nickelodeon style kids sitcoms.
Yep,
that makes sense.
And that's why you would have talking to the camera. It was pretty spot on for those kind of shows. At least the way they've been lately in the area when my now 14-year-old was 8 and watching those things, it was pretty spot on for
And on the internet, people brought out a show that I don't know if she's even watched. It was, like you say, it was a Nickelodeon show, I'm pretty sure. And that the opening credits were an homage to. And so they can nail the exact show. But I would say having the two twins is very similar to, there was a Disney show with the two twins.
Zach and Cody.
It's kind of all Zach and Cody, yeah. And as I think a piece of that that's mixed in here. They definitely like to mix in lots of stuff from that time frame. So this is, like we say, the 90s. I'll give a little pseudo spoiler maybe for next week. Folks are saying that it's going to be The Office is going to be kind of the 2000s sitcom takeoff that they do, which I think would be really interesting for all of us, because we're all Office fans, I think. And so that's a perfect.
Well, I'd love to see them doing The Office in the Vision's office.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's kind of the concept.
Mainly because I want to see all the, I want to see their awesome 1980s computer power brought back, though, although it'll be a more modern. I'm gonna miss seeing the Commodore 64s in The Office.
Yeah, did you catch the Commodore 64? That was funny.
That's great.
I forgot to mention that last episode, but I was, as a former owner of a Commodore 64, I was pretty excited to see those make an appearance.
Well, it was good that they upped for the power of the Commodore 64 versus the VIC 20, because that was certainly not as powerful. So,
but the funny thing was that somehow it had the internet, like in that era that it didn't.
Yeah, they were jumping ahead.
I think towards the end of its existence, you could actually get on and do bulletin boards. I never had the modem, but I believe they had the old cradle style modem for it towards the very end of its lifespan. I'd moved on by that point. I never did the internet on mine, but it was all passing programs around on floppy disks. But
someday that internet online may catch on. I'm not sure, but anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Well, you didn't really get the internet until into the early 90s, and then it wasn't even really like the internet people know today. You know, it was more getting on and you know, maybe having, getting some email or a couple of other things that were kind of early precursors to websites and stuff. But I mean, that was like the early 90s before you got that. Back in the 80s it was all online bulletin boards, you know, so you could dial into some bulletin boards and chat with people and do things. You could upload files and download files on bulletin board stuff, but it wasn't the internet. So that's kind of what they were going for there, I think.
Yep. Because universities would have it, and some businesses would have ability to share files and do whatever.
But there was lots of being able to dial in with your modem to stuff in the 80s to all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what you did. It wasn't connected like the internet, but you could dial into specific ones in different places.
Yep. So back to WandaVision.
Back to the current episode of WandaVision. Sorry for the segue there.
Just had to cover that ground, so we're good. What do you guys think about this? Is the most we've seen. It's interesting because this actor that's playing Peter, or Pietro in this case, he's not really acting. It's different. I mean, he's definitely not, doesn't feel like it's the exact same character he played in the Marvel Universe. It feels like this is a interesting version of that character, because he's overlapping, of course, playing the kind of, you know, kid uncle that won't grow up and things that we've seen in lots of sitcoms and things. And so he's playing that character, of course, that he never had to play before. And he's doing a pretty good job of it. It was fun watching him, his interaction with the kids and the things they wrote for him, I thought were really good. So I really enjoy seeing the actor, and I think he adds a lot to this episode. And then that whole scene, like Bob says, when she sees him as being shot, and so you see the bullet holes and everything, and that he's really dead. kind of like where we saw Vision in one of the early episodes, that had his forehead caved in and was obviously dead as well, is interesting. So,
well, I think the one too where we saw him shot, that was the correct Pietro at that point, right? That wasn't.
No, I think it was. I thought it was still him. Just
was it? I thought it was just a clip from.
Yeah, we saw both. They had a clip from the original movie that showed him getting shot, and I'm not sure if that was in this episode too. That was earlier in this episode. It was. I think that might have been in the previously, or
I think that was in the preview
thing
to remind you that this guy's supposed to be dead.
Episode, they showed the current actor that plays Pietro.
Right, they showed the bullet holes on him. Yeah. Right, but what I'm saying is the one where they showed him actually being shot earlier on, I think, was the other actor probably pulled the footage from the movie or whatever and threw it in through.
That's exactly what they did. So, yeah, I think he's doing a good job with this role. I think it's fun to see him. And I hope, you know, that somehow they manage to keep him around in Marvel Universe and everything. I mean, honestly, I'm so selfish. I hope that they keep – I like Vision, and I hope they keep Vision. And I hope they keep him. And I realize that usually when you kill people, I like them to stay dead. But in this case, yeah, bring him back. So – I don't think I'm going to get my wish probably though, but we'll find out. Bob, we haven't got any views on you on this thing yet. So go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, we did when we started. This is a complete breakdown. The universe is breaking down, something serious, especially at the end when our good friend Vision tries to breach the barrier.
Oh, I'm sorry. You misunderstood me. You're giving me information about the episode. I wanted your take on the 1980s modem conversation. I think that's far more interesting.
I had the. Well, I hate to say it, when I started, I had the deep drive. That's how I saved my programs.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Our audience was wondering about it. They were in their minds. They were going, I wonder how Bob saved information back in the day. And now he's old. So that, thank you, Bob.
Yeah, but I used 8-track tapes to save mine.
I could tell you. You recorded over your Dolly Parton's greatest hits. I know that. So, yeah.
No, my Peter Frampton Live.
Matt, what did you think of this, of the whole thing and where it's going? Are you there, Matt? No, Matt?
I am. I'm back.
Okay. Matt's back.
Yeah, I thought it was an entertaining episode. I was kind of scanning through it. The breakdown I thought was interesting was how when you get to the periphery of town and people are just kind of doing repetitive actions.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like they're just...
They're completely frozen, some of them, apparently,
Or they're just intended to be background characters that would be, you know, panned across in a framing shot or something. I thought that was kind of interesting. And he gets to the edge of town and actually sees Agnes and then has a little out of character conversation with her when he messes with her mind a little bit to try and talk to her.
Which is the mind thing we saw him do last time with one of his coworkers. And so we see that played out even more, that he's got control over somehow, whether they're in character, out of character, what's going on. So that's an interesting piece for sure. I think that's a great scene.
Third thing,
go ahead.
She pretty much wiped out the sword base. At the end of this episode, you're not sure. She freaks out and expands the universe.
Well, let's go to that for a second. So Vision, in his quest to try and find out what's going on, goes to the edge of town and tries to break through the barrier. Does get through somewhat, but we see him sort of falling apart as he gets through. It makes it appear like he's really dead and outside the barrier, can't survive for long. And at least that's my interpretation of it. And then one of the kids' powers sort of reflects Pietro, so he's really fast. The other one reflects a little bit of Wanda's, but I'm not sure what's going on with the other kid's power, but he's can sense that Vision is in danger and so goes and tells his mom, and then she freezes everything once she figures out what's going on and that Vision's in danger, and then expands the town out, the perimeter of it out, and that engulfs the some of the various people that are working on S.W.O.R.D. and engulfs Vision again. So, and we don't see what we see Vision change back to look like Vision, but we don't see him actually get up or anything. We assume he's okay. I don't know. And then we also see it engulf Darcy because they've handcuffed her to a vehicle. And that was one of the more humorous scenes, is where everybody's running away. And she's like, seriously, I'm handcuffed to the vehicle. Let me go. But she ends up getting engulfed as well. And everything it engulfs changes to fit into that reality. So like the Jeeps and things turn into vehicles and things that would be there. There's a whole thing about there's a little circus outside of town or something. And so you see people turn into clowns and things to join the circus. And there's a car lot and it turns into a old used car lot instead of a modern car lot, I suppose, and things. So anyway, so that kind of takes us there. And I thought that was interesting too, Bob. But anything else you want to say about it expanding out and hitting that stuff? And you were saying that maybe the whole S.W.O.R.D., whole complex is messed up.
It didn't, at the end, you didn't know how far she was going to go.
Right.
I mean, it was still expanding at the end of the episode. So it's like she's in a complete freak out mode. You know, she's going to take over the whole freaking world before she's done.
Yeah, you assume it would stop after Vision, but then it kept going. And so you're like, okay, how far is it going to go? And they were trying to outrace it in their Jeep and we're having some issues with that or something.
I think she's going to have a problem though, trying to control so much. I think that's going to come into play. You know, it's like before it was smaller and even then there were lapses where she couldn't control, and now she's expanded it even more. So I think there's going to be some issues with.
Well, and they've done a good job of showing that she doesn't have unlimited power, like the fact that she froze everybody and everybody just froze where they were so that she could expand it, right? And didn't just keep everything going while she was expanding it. Also, the fact that, like Matt was saying, around the edges, the characters would be frozen or do things repetitively because, like he said, they would just be in a background shot or whatever. And so she wouldn't make those folks be fully animated and things, and maybe she can only animate so many people and control so many people. And now she's expanding. So who knows? I assume there's going to be ramifications for her from this expansion. So we shall see where that goes. Matt, thoughts on all that and the expansion and everything?
No, like I said, it'll be interesting to see the limits and like how far things go. How much control does she end up taking over wider area, and does it break down or does she kind of keep growing into her powers? The storyline that this is vaguely based on in the comics, she changed the whole world. And even when they kind of rebooted it, there were ramifications. There were things that remained of kind of the fantasy world that she created that remained even after, and you know, in a comic book sense, it was a way for them to bring back a few characters that they had killed off over the years that they wanted. You know, they'd killed off Hawkeye. They wanted to bring Hawkeye back. They'd killed off some various characters, and they kind of wanted to do a reset on the X-Men. So they left some of the world changed.
Is it the House of M storyline that you're referring?
It's called the House of M. Yeah, that's the. She's kind of losing control of her powers and being, you know, a god tier reality manipulator at that point in the comics. The kind of powers that be of the hero world decide that the probably killing her is the only way to save the world from her. You know, they're kind of they were definitely exploring the, you know, one of the most powerful beings in the world is kind of going over the edge.
In the comic, was mentally. She manipulated by anybody, or was it her own thing?
It was sort of her own thing, but her father. It's been years since I read it, but I believe Magneto and Quicksilver just wanted to save his sister's life,
right?
And I think Magneto was trying to do that by controlling the way in that she manipulated the world.
Maybe they will have Ian McCollum in this. I don't know. That'll be interesting.
But so they used it to reset a lot of different things
in
the comics, which, I mean, it really, if they
want dovetails well in what Marvel needs to do now with synthesizing the two universes together.
And, yes. I mean, this gives them, and I think your Hunter and I have talked about, this may be a chance for them to introduce, or at least tangentially introduce, a rebooted Fantastic Four, which they still haven't gotten right. And they now have the rights to again.
Which is hugely interesting. Integrating. Next week's episode is an office thing, right? And the character that's most thought of online as being who should be Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four is
John Krasinski. Like
Jim, right? And so it'll be interesting what they're going to do with that.
They could have a reunion between Jim and not Jim. Who is and not Jim from The Office is now playing a character named Jimmy.
Hey, Jim.
So it's so meta right now.
Yeah.
Meta. But yeah, I mean, I think they've got the opportunity to do it with the MCU with this show, and like I said, with the upcoming Doctor Strange multiverse movie, of using Wanda's powers the same way they did in the comics, and kind of integrating and resetting. Bringing the best versions of a couple, you know, the characters that have different versions, and really kind of getting a soft reboot kind of, or just readjustment. And it's a moment for them to kind of make sense of multiple timelines and realities.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. So if that's the way they're going with it, I think that's a great, they've at least got the opportunity to say, hey, this is why things are the way they are, and there's still remnants of the way Wanda changed the world, even though she's allowed most things to reset or whatever.
Well, and Kevin Feige has said that the this series and the whole all of the series in the the Disney Plus series are as important as the movies are. They're going to be as integral to the movies and affect the movies as much as the movies have affected each other. So that'll be interesting. Jim, you were going to say something, I think, at some point in there. So
I don't remember.
That's great, Jim. That was good. Thank you. Bob, do you want to throw in I don't know what we're talking about either? Or
what do you have to say my recollection on that.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you both for adding to our discussion. I don't know whether I should put this out there as the WandaVision podcast episode 6 or episode 1 of 80s dial-in modem podcast. I'm not sure.
No, that section just gets cut out and added to the random BS Go podcast.
Yes, of course. The famous podcast that sort of exists and sort of doesn't. So.
Episode 75 of Random BS Go.
Yes. Well, and thank you for editing that, so I don't have to edit that later. Anyway, anybody else have any speculation on where the series is going? Anything about this episode they want to point out? I really like the part of Rambo, Darcy, Jim. I think that they are a fun team together, and I would like to see them do more. I'd be happy to see them have their own series or whatever. There's been speculation, of course, about Jim and Darcy having their own kind of X-Files sort of Disney series, which would be fun.
So,
well, and
go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I have not watched The Office a lot. So the character that plays Jim in here, he was in The Office and played a guy that they called Not Jim in The Office.
Yes.
No, there was one episode of The Office where the actual character Jim, John Krasinski, is playing. He hires an actor to play him, to pretend to be him, to mess with one of his coworkers.
Okay.
And who he constantly pranks, and so there's a character who is not Jim. That for a while, when Daryl was calling me Jim every single time you weren't here,
yeah,
he would address me as Jim. That's when I changed my username to Not Jim, and that that guy that now is Jimmy Woo was my screen image.
Your screen and so which was we were predicting the future even before it came. We didn't even have a WandaVision podcast at that point. But
so that ties into the whole thing then. Probably why they're calling him Jim on this WandaVision is a whole other play on that, because that's the name he had in the office. He was pretending it's Jim, so now they're making him Jim here as well.
But it could be completely unrelated too, because he was named that before WandaVision ever existed. When he was over on Ant-Man, the second Ant-Man film, he might have been on the first Ant-Man film too, but he was definitely in the second Ant-Man film playing the same character.
I think it's because Daryl's actually manipulating the universe. Really in Daryl vision.
Yeah.
And he obviously only knows so many names. So about 50% of people in Daryl's reality are named Jim.
Well, so I wonder if they're going to have an office themed one next week, if somehow he's going to wind up being in the office.
I don't know.
Expanded, maybe he gets, well, no, because they got away, I think, at the end of this one, right?
That doesn't mean they're not going to get in there. I mean, considering Darcy's in now, right? Vision's maybe back. The whole concept is kind of broken. Everybody knows about everybody now, pretty much. I mean, Vision's seen what the outside looks like, if he still has that memory. Wanda's definitely interacted with the outside people now. The outside people have messed around with them. So I could see Jim and Captain Rambeau decide the best thing to do is to go in and go back in and try and help Darcy. And so who knows what's going to happen next episode. Yeah. And then if you throw all that into the mix and are going to have an office recreation, you could do a lot of fun things with it. We'll see.
In the office, did they actually call him not Jim, or were they just pretending that he was Jim on the office show?
Matt, what do you know about that?
They were just pretending he was Jim. I don't think.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wouldn't sure if somebody came out, and said, "Oh, you're not Jim," or something like
that. Well, that's, I mean, that was, I mean, that's what Dwight kept saying, isn't it? You're not Jim.
Yeah.
So I could see him playing with, if he did wind up in the office in WandaVision, I could see them doing that same thing where somebody in the office calls him Jim. And it's like, oh, that's not Jim, and just one quick line like that.
Well, especially if they have Jim Krasinski in it, playing Reed Richards, they could be saying, no, he's Jim. And no, he's not. I'm Reed. I'm not Jim. And he's Jim. No, I'm not Jim either. We'll see how meta they want to get.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. I do know that, we're getting into crunch time here. There's only, three episodes left. There's 9 episodes in total. So, and they haven't really lengthened them out. I thought they were going to lengthen them out to be an hour, but they've really stuck to the half hour-ish format. So unless they're going to lengthen some of these last episodes, they've only got an hour and a half to close this thing down and get the mystery.
Why did they run? I kind of wish they would have ran the credits at the end of all the series. Like, it was 7 minutes of credits or something out of that half hour. It's like 22 minutes total.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it originally was scheduled for, like I said, it could have been scheduled for 6-hour-long episodes. And they said, well, it makes more sense to break it into 25-minute episodes and still have the same shooting time of 6 hours or whatever, but just have it spread out over a bunch more episodes. Because it sure looks like if they stick with this format, if you were to combine all the episodes, you'd end up with like a 4 or 4.5-hour piece. And so it'd be like an extended movie, but it wouldn't be like ridiculously long. I don't know. We'll see how long these next episodes are going to be. But I like the way that it's keeping us all, even though some of us kind of lost interest or were close to losing interest around episode 4, pretty much everybody of the 4 of us anyway, are all on board for future episodes and going, oh, where's this going to go now? And it's getting better and better to my way of thinking. Though I will say, if someone's tied into the whole sitcom piece, the first 3 were very sitcom-esque, where these later ones, 4 on, have been just a flavor of the time and what's going on, but the real story has been the behind-the-scenes story and not a sitcom story being told. It's what it seems like. Jim, would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I like the mix of it, you know. So yeah. I think they've got a good mix now where they've got, you know, some of the sitcom-y stuff, but then that's also tying into, you know, what's going on really behind the scenes and what. So I like the mix now.
What I'll give them huge kudos on is this would not have worked if you had boring people on the outside trying to deal with the people on the inside, because Wanda and Vision and even the actors and everybody that they've got on the inside is so interesting. But the fact that they brought on the character of Jimmy Woo from the movies, Darcy from the movies, and introduced Captain Rambeau, I think keeps it interesting on the outside as well. So they have interesting actors and characters that want to follow both inside and outside. And I think that's what makes the series work so well. Because it's tricky ground. I mean, they're saying, okay, we want to make them care about these actors and these other actors, and eventually we're going to intermingle them. But to begin with, it's going to be kind of, there's out and there's in, and there's not too much crossover between the two. Yeah, I think they've done a good job. Any last comments on this before we move on? Are we good? Sounds like we're good. I hear silence, which is very rare with this group. So,
oh, one more thing.
Yeah, enjoy the episode, and we'll hear Matt's one more thing next time.